where Stamford comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
He's a rebel and you'll never be any good. He's a rebel cause he never ever does what he should do, just because he doesn't do what everybody else does. Oh, there's no reason why I can't give him all my love. He is always good to me, always treats me tenderly.
Who doesn't know that song? Oh my God, that voice. Darlene Love joins us now. She's back on the show. She's going to be in Richfield on February 14th, Valentine's Day. I can't think of a better way to spend Valentine's Day with the number one girl of love herself, Darlene Love, member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Darlene, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. I'm so happy to chat with you.
Hey, guys. How are
Hi.
You? This is so exciting.
It is exciting. It is.
It's amazing because all the years I've been playing there, it's only been at Christmas time. So this is really special.
It is
special. For me being there on Valentine's Day.
Well, your name says it all. You're full of love.
That's
all
right.
The time. Yeah. You know, your history is amazing, but I came in with Rebel because he's a rebel. Because, you know, I want you to tell her, it's very, Ronnie Spector just passed away. She lived in Danbury. I know that she was a colleague of yours and a friend of yours throughout these crazy years. And Phil Spector, you know, will go down in history as a murderer and a domestic abuser and really a terrible individual. But one of the other mean things that he did was he issued that record not under your group, the Blossoms, but under the Crystals, and you didn't get credit for it, at least not at the beginning.
Not at the beginning. It was amazing because the Blossoms and I were the background singers for all records just about that was recorded in the late 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And that's how I ended up meeting Phil Spector. And Phil Spector was living in New York at the time, and I was in California working for his partner, unbeknownst to me, Lester Sill. And he came to California wanting to record this record, but the group, the Crystals, were in New York, and their parents wouldn't let them fly to California because they were too young.
Oh.
So here was these great singers, the Blossoms, and we would pay you to do this record. It's not going to be under your name, but we'll pay you well to do it. And we were background singers, and what people don't realize, back in those days, a lot of people recorded and put other people's names on it. Or they would go into a recording studio with a great record that the producers would thought it was going to be a big hit. They would record the record and then go, well, whose name are we going to put on this?
Why, Darlene? I don't understand that. Why wouldn't it be obvious that a singer would want credit for anything they did in a studio?
We did, but when we made that deal, it was for a purpose of putting a record out and putting it out under the name of the Crystals because the Crystals already had a name. To them, I would be a newcomer to the business as a solo artist. I had not recorded a record under the name of Darlene Love or the Crystals or Bobby Sox and the Blue Jeans or the Blossoms. Matter of fact, I think a lot of people know by now that Phil Spector actually gave me the name Love.
Yeah, incredible.
He asked me if I liked it, and I said, hey, why not?
Why not?
And here we are 50-some-odd years later. Everybody knows now who Darlene Love is.
Yeah,
and I don't really regret it because it's a story. It's a great story.
Yeah, that's true, Darlene. You're good. You got the right attitude.
You guys, amazingly, I get more royalties from that record than the Crystals do.
Oh, you do? Okay,
Yes,
okay.
I had to go to court and sue Phil Spector, and I get more royalties than they do because they weren't on the record. So I think it's actually harder for them than it is for me.
You
know,
but you had to sue.
They have to defend themselves that, well, they make up all kinds of stories about who it is, and we had to go back and re-record it, and I just laugh and say, okay. Okay. I'm getting the royalties. I'm like Dolly Parton with Whitney Houston.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's right. What was that? What was that song?
I will always love you.
I'll always love you. That's right. That's right. That's ASCAP. That's ASCAP.
Yes, so that's it. So they know but who you recorded the record. Maybe yeah. not the Crystals know, but ASCAP know who recorded that record.
But you had to sue, Darlene, and that's not very nice because, you see, they could have done the right thing from the get-go. I'm a lawyer. I don't know if you know. Did you know? Darlene, I don't know if you know that I'm a judge. Do you know that I'm a judge? I'm
no,
a lawyer and a
I
judge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I'm a lawyer and I'm a judge.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I'm the probate judge for the Westport Western District. And so when I hear the story, and you're so good-humored about it, I know that behind the scenes, it's a royal pain in the ass and very expensive to have to sue in order to protect your rights. People should do the right thing from the get-go.
And you know what? It's coming to pass now. Record companies are becoming a thing of the past, if you realize that.
Yeah.
They are not mogul monsters anymore. RCA Victor, Columbia, Capitol, all those big record companies back in those days are no more. People form their own record companies. So now they're getting their rights. You know, maybe I didn't get it in 1961 and 62, but here we are in 2021, 22, and I'm getting those royalties because people are still playing those records.
Yeah, and they are great records.
So, you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
There is. And what was your
experience? You have to hang on in there, and what's right will come back around.
And with
and
Phil Spector.
I love the whole idea that Phil did something for me that I would have never thought to do, give me a name called Love. Mm. Now I don't not only have Christmas time, I have Valentine's Day time.
Yeah, you do. You totally do. And you're going to be at the Richfield Playhouse on Valentine's Day. I bet it's going to be standing room only. I'm sure it'll be standing
room only. You
know,
it's great because I do something special. I don't tell the audience what I'm going to do because it's always a surprise. But they always love what we do. We change our show around and put quite a few love songs in the show. And we do something special for the audience. So it's really, I almost feel about Valentine's Day the way I feel about Christmas. I enjoy so much of doing it because I tell everybody, you know, make it date time. Come to the Darlene Love Show and have a good time with somebody you love. Even maybe it ain't somebody you love, but when you come to my show, by the time you leave, you'll be in love.
Oh, that's fantastic, Darlene. By the way, how's your daughter? Is she still in Greenwich? You still going to dance together?
Yes, yeah. She's still in Greenwich. She's still trying to get us up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do kickboxing.
I can't believe it. You guys are amazing.
I'm only doing 2 days now. I said, this is getting to be a joke.
2 days is a lot. It's a lot more. It's two more than I do. Let me put it that way.
Well, you know what? We have to keep moving. That's the whole clux to all of this. Keep moving some kind of way.
It is. And how have you been doing throughout COVID, Darlene? Have you been
you know
managing?
What? The jobs weren't there, you know, 2 years ago, but last year it wasn't bad at all. You know, they have to take so much care to get everybody in, and they have a lot of rules. And but, you know, once we get on stage, the shows are great.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I've seen.
But, you know, I did want to start cutting back on my shows. I was doing like 20 and 30 shows, and that's like between October and January. That was just becoming way too much. So last year I only did like maybe 10, and we spread it out, and most of them were in December. So it was okay. You know, I didn't travel. You know, I didn't have to fly anywhere. I did a lot of jobs where I could drive to. So that mean New Jersey, New York, Connecticut, you know, Philadelphia. So I did a lot of those areas, which I very rarely did. But it worked out great. And plus, everybody did Zoom. So I even did a lot of Zoom with my fans. We had lunch together and we had wine together. So, you know, my publicists came up with a lot of wonderful ideas I could do to keep up with what was going on with my fans. So it wasn't like a dead time. So, you know, it was pretty good.
Do you exercise your voice?
Not if I'm not working. But what I will do, like I have this job coming up for Valentine's Day, I do start warming my voice up. Because I've had one job already this year, and that was in Philadelphia. And I went like, wow, girl, you know, you better warm this throat up.
Yeah.
It's like your body. You can't start working out and all of a sudden start trying to do it like you're 15 years old. You got to warm that body up.
You know, Darlene, it's amazing. I'm listening to you. First of all, I want to share condolences on the loss of your sister, She died a little bit over a year ago. And
yes,
your baby sister, I guess. And so tell, did you all, was it just the two of you or how big a family? Because obviously you all had immense talent for singing.
I had three brothers also, and they're all alive. My sister passed, and it was such a shock because, you know, you don't think about losing. I'm 5 years older than my sister. You never thought about who was going to pass first, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she had some other problems, some breathing problems before she passed. So it was a bit much because we worked a lot together. I started her out in this business as a backup singer.
Wow.
When we needed a singer, I would call her because she had a great voice. And she was a great singer. And but she went her way, and a lot of people didn't realize till many years later that Edna Wright was the lead singer for The Honeycomb, and she was my sister.
Fantastic.
So, you know, we had a lot of things that we did together, and it's almost her birthday. It's February the 2nd, so it's amazing. I've been sitting up here just knowing I was going to do these interviews this morning, and I've been really thinking about her and looking at pictures. So I've been kind of, melancholy.
Yeah.
And it helps me to think about it and be joyful about it because we had a wonderful, wonderful years together.
Oh. Did she live close to you? Did she live around
no,
you?
No, she actually still lived in California.
Okay. Yeah.
But I made sure she came here at least 4 or 5 times a year. And plus, because she lived in California, when she came to New York, I'd make her stay here for about a month.
Oh, so you were close
sisters. I said, well, yeah, okay, yeah, you got to go home. But you can stay another week.
Oh, Darlene, you got great energy, Darlene. I got
to
tell you.
I have to. You know, if I tell people all the time, if I want to do what I'm doing, and I really do it because I love it and I enjoy it, you have to keep a great attitude about it. You know, a lot of my peers don't like doing their songs over and over again, but I enjoy doing them because that's what the fans want to hear.
Yeah, that is.
You know,
what the fans
so every time
hear.
I get a chance to sing these songs, I'm singing them for my fans because that's what they paid to see me do, not to do a whole show of songs they ain't never heard of before.
You're right about that. You're right. And if you do it with the fresh, beautiful attitude, these are eternal songs anyway. Every time you open up your mouth, people want to hear them again. It's not like they don't want to hear the song.
And that's like me, too. When I go to see concerts, I don't want to hear these people sing some songs I ain't never heard before. I want to hear y'all hits.
Yeah. Play the hits. Play the hits. Isn't that what they always used to say? Play the hits. I wanted to ask you, we're chatting with Darlene Love, who's going to be in Ridgefield Valentine's Day. I think Bill and I are definitely going to be there. We're going to get tickets. And if I'm there, I hope I can meet you backstage. And I really
would love to.
But Darlene, I wanted to ask you just to pause for a little bit and tell us your thoughts about what happened with Ronnie Spector. And just, I would like to hear your reflections because, you know, she was married to him, but you also worked under this guy. And you had some parallel success, and then you stayed friends. And she was very brave to get away from under him. I think he would have killed her.
Well, I have really different thoughts about that. I think if she probably would have stayed, she would have stayed too long. I do feel like she wanted, because the Ronnie that I knew, if anything that girl loved, she loved singing and performing on stage. Matter of fact, she even told me one time, if she had to die, she'd rather die on the stage than anywhere. I don't have that desire, but that was hers, but that was fine.
Yeah.
And we were close because we were parallel together. We were the only two singers from that Christmas album that worked and sang those songs at Christmas time.
Wow.
That album gave me and Ronnie Spector a whole new life at Christmas time because it was such a big album. People want to hear it, and I did a lot of dates with Ronnie, like back in the 60s and the 70s. We did a lot of dates together back in she would come to California, and we did a lot of dates. I think that was her saving grace being away from Phil, because what he did to her, which was unfathomable, that he wanted her to stop singing.
Yeah.
Do nothing.
Well, he and kept the women as prisoners. Whoever was in his life as a woman had to be his prisoner, it sounded like.
Exactly. And I told him one time, I say, Phil, you killing her. Because you're stopping her from doing the one thing that she loved. She wanted to, and now listen to this one. She told me years ago, before she even married Phil Spector, that she was going to marry him. And the one reason she wanted to marry him is because she knew he could get her a hit record. Wow. I said, well, Ronnie, I don't know about all that. Mm-hmm. Well, by then I knew Phil a lot, you know, before that. So, you know, he's a great producer, you know, but I don't know if you want that other part of him, because it's a dark side. It's a dark side of him. I just was able to tell him to go and kiss where the sun don't shine.
So you saw the dark side. You saw it before the world saw it. You knew it was there.
Yeah. When I met Phil, he was 21 years old. He hadn't had any success yet.
He's
His
a kid.
First success was He's a Rebel.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know, he did record and write and produce To Know Him Is to Love Him, but that was as the Teddy Bears. But his first success as a big-time producer was He's a Rebel.
I see. So you gave him his first big hit. He owed you, too.
Exactly. Exactly. So me and Ronnie, we had our differences only because we were two completely different people how we did our shows. Ronnie did things on her show that I wouldn't do on my show. But see, I just laughed at Ronnie because Ronnie was a free spirit. She just felt like whatever she do on stage was all right. And that was okay with me because, you know, we got to places where we wanted to do shows together, but I want to close the show. That's what Ronnie would say, but I think it had a lot to do with the people that were around her and with her. See, I'm one of those kind of entertainers. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I don't care what you do. I'm not going to try to be you. I'm going to go out there and be Darlene Love. Now, when you come out, you got to be Ronnie. Mm-hmm. And I did that for everybody I worked with. I don't care where I go. Closing it, in the middle, opening it. Let me open the show. Then if I'm tired, I can go home.
Darlene. Did you ever perform?
We got along. I let her close the show. It didn't. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, whatever she wanted to do was fine with me. I don't fight when it comes to my this business, when it's things like that. Because people are going to, there's people who came to see me, and there's people who came to see Ronnie. So they're getting a great deal. They're going to get two completely different things. And I'm going to do, when I first open the show, to come on, I'm going to be Darlene Love. And you're going to get all I have. You're going to get 150%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's not because I'm not closing the show you're going to get more. You're going to get just as much from me from opening the show as closing it. And it always worked out. Me and Ronnie didn't have a problem. It was the people that worked around Ronnie.
I see.
Because when we did this show back in the 60s, Leader of the Pack, at the Bottom Line in New York.
Oh, I love the Bottom Line. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes. Can you imagine that place not being there anymore?
Oh, I know. It's terrible. It was right across the street from where I used
to
live.
Down.
I lived on Mercer and Waverly. It was right there.
Oh, my goodness. You're right around the corner.
Right around the corner. I know. That's where I lived for 5 years in the 80s. I know. Used to go
there. So we had a lot in common. We did a lot of things together. You know, I always treated her like my baby sister. Mm. You know, like maybe I was 10 years old and she was about 3 or 4.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of relationship I had with her. Whatever you do, sweetheart, is fine with me.
Fine with me.
You know, because I think just as much as you as I do anybody else I work for. Only with me and you together made a unit. People were knocked out when they could see me and Ronnie work together. So I did everything I could to try to keep me and her peaceful. No matter what everybody else was saying.
That was kind of you.
In the
because
corner
she was,
and going, excuse me?
No, that was very kind of you because with her experiences that we now know in retrospect, even though she had a certain motivation, you are changed forever by being a victim of such abuse. And it's
oh my God, yes.
And it's you're just not the same person.
I don't think you ever get over it. I don't think you never get over it because in your darkest hours in time, we all have this when we are alone in our houses or wherever we are and we start thinking. Mm-hmm. And that always comes back up.
Yeah.
You can't run from that. But she got by. I'll say she got past it. I don't think she ever got over it, but her lifestyle made her a victim because of Phil.
Yeah.
You know, the bigger she got, which I never had the chance to go to Europe and meet the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and all of those people like Ronnie did. But Phil got so possessive. He didn't want her being around them.
Yeah.
I'm going like, are you kidding? What?
Wow.
So she had all those problems that she had to get past. where. So I didn't want to be one of her person that didn't like her or talked about her or whatever. It's enough people around her in her circle that did that.
Yeah.
I used to go and get her out of the dressing room and bring her into mine and say, girl, come on over here and let's laugh and talk.
Oh, boy. Sounds like she was around not good people
anyway,
for a long time.
It didn't matter who it was. If I was your friend, I was your friend. And you're not going to get between me and her.
Darlene, is there anybody now around who you would still love to perform with? Like I'm thinking about Dolly Parton, for example. Have you ever been on the stage with her? I'd love to see the two of you together.
I would love to be on the stage with her. Oh. I've always admired her. I remember I went to a television show that she was doing with, not Gladys Knight, Patti LaBelle. That's where I first met her back in the 70s. They were doing a television show together. And I said, oh, my God, I should just run out there and just start singing with them.
You should. You should have, Darlene. What a coulda, shoulda.
I might not have had a career if I had did that.
Wow.
But it wasn't to out-sing them or do anything like that. It's just like, oh, just to be in you guys' presence at the same time. Oh, I'd love to, because I don't know Dolly, but I have this feeling that she is such a sweetheart.
Ah,
she has
me
a
too.
Humble spirit.
Me too.
I can just feel that about her. So I think, you know what, the more I talk to people like you guys, you come up with great ideas for us. If you see that, you'll say, you know, I talked to Darlene about that the last time I talked to her.
Yes.
So, you know, I believe you put things out there in the air and something happens. You know what
yes.
I mean?
I agree.
That's what has happened to me my whole career. I talk it and I speak it enough, and then it happens. And you go, wow, you know, I talked about that last year. Or you talked about that 3 years ago. And it just comes up. I never say never one day.
Yeah.
You know,
one day.
Because me and Patty were supposed to do a show together last year, but because of the COVID, they had to cancel the show. So, you know what I'm saying? Hey, listen. And you know what? We're all friends. Mm-hmm. And it's not that many of us left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we need to take the time to smell the roses and say hey to one another every now and then. You know what I mean? Because our careers lead us in so many different places, and everything is so different today.
We don't have that time. You know who else? I'd love to see you with Carole King.
Oh, and you know, Carole King wrote some of my songs back in the day.
Did she? Wow.
I knew her from Lou Adler. Lou Adler was her record producer that recorded Tapestry.
Oh, that's right, of course.
And, you know, as soon as she did Tapestry, she said, that's it. I don't need to do no more recording.
True.
No more nothing.
That's true. We didn't hear from her for 30 years. She went to Idaho. She went to Idaho and saved the trees, and then she came back with James Taylor and Troubadour.
But that's it. She, you know, we tried to get her to write some things for me when Steve Van Zandt did my album a few years ago. But she said, you know, I've retired. I'm tired. You know, I just don't want to do it. And I went, you know what? I respect that. But, you know, there's not a song that she wrote you can't sing.
Absolutely. The best.
We all sing her songs.
The best.
They take you back. They take you there.
Well, Darlene Love, you're going to be at the Richfield Playhouse for a sold-out concert, I know, on Valentine's Day. Your name says it all. Your energy says it all. I thank you so much for spending this time with us on the show today. Thank you.
And I look forward to meeting you.
Me too. Me too. Me too.
Okay,
me too. Me too.
I see the snow is trying to come down up here.
It's trying. Yeah. We're gonna be hit with a big one. So, you know,
stay safe and warm. I went to the grocery store, and it's amazing. My father used to cook chili on rainy days.
Yummy.
So I fixed enchiladas. So that's what I'm fixing for dinner tonight.
Fantastic. Enjoy. Thank you so much, Darlene Love. What a pleasure.
And God bless.
God bless. We'll be right back.